Well, it's good to be together here again tonight. I'm going to continue on the theme that Michael began last week when he talked about four of the core values of this church. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it much, but why is it that you choose to come to City North and maybe not go to another church? And there's probably a dozen or more different answers that people are going to give to that question. Some of them have attended this church maybe since they were little children and they've just grown up in the church here, they're happy in the church here, they just keep coming. Some come because their friends come here. Some come here because they like some particular aspect about what goes on in the church. There are some who come because they like the seats in the building or the air conditioning in summer or whatever it might be. And, you know, you've probably got other reasons as well too. And it's good for us sometimes, I think, just to stop and sort of say, hey, why do I come to this church? What is it about City North that maybe makes it the kind of church that you feel comfortable in? Maybe you get the spiritual encouragement, the opportunities to grow as a Christian in, you know. Well, we did four of our core values last week, and they're probably four of the bigger ones in the church, which means that I've got to deal with the next six of them tonight, because there's 10 altogether. I know that you're all really heavily into the core values document. It's one of those fine print documents that's tucked away in the appendix of the church constitution. But, you know, the committed ones, the keen ones, I know you pull that out every couple of weeks and you read it through word for word, and maybe you've memorised sort of some of those points there. I know you're the... I'm not preaching to the keen ones tonight, because I know you're all right on board there. I'm speaking to the ones who are maybe, I don't know, the slackers, all right? It's my job to encourage you to really get that document out and have a good look at it and be committed to it. And I guess I'm preaching to about 99% of us here tonight when I say that. All right. I had a big part to play in writing that document, and I can't remember them all off either, so I'm sorry about that. But look, although it's not scripture, all right, the core values document isn't the Bible, I do think that it does have value because it is based on the Bible. Now, that document is not exclusive to City North Baptist Church. Well, it is in the sense that that's the way that we have set out our core values here. But I mean, there's nothing in that document there that another church couldn't quite easily sort of say, yep, that's the kind of church we want to be. I think because we have worked our way through the scriptures and said, what does the Bible say a church, a good church, should look like? Because that's the kind of church that we want to be. And that's what we sought to do with this core values document. And so in that sense, I hope that there are many churches who could very helpfully use a document like that one. Churches come in many different shapes and sizes and styles. Some churches are small, some are large, some are in between. Some are more traditional, some are more contemporary. Some are formal, some are relaxed. Some have mainly older people. Some have lots of young people and families. Some have night services. Many don't. Some have vibrant leadership and those churches know where they're going. Some have almost no serious leadership at all and they're rudderless. Some have good preaching. Some have good music. Some have neither. Some have both. Some are warm and friendly. Some are cold and lifeless. Some have good programs and thriving ministries. Some churches are slowly dying. And perhaps you have been in some of these churches. Perhaps you have attended a variety of different churches over the years, and maybe, for whatever reason, you're not able to go to that church or you don't want to go to that church anymore. You've chosen to come to City North. Maybe you're one of those people who is still looking for the perfect church. And the moment you happen to be attending City North Baptist Church and trying us out, maybe there's that kind of desperate hope that maybe one day, somewhere, you're going to find this church. Well, my advice to you tonight, if that's you, is this. If you ever find the perfect church, for goodness sake, don't join it. Because the moment you join that church, it won't be perfect anymore. And the reason why no church is the perfect church is because the people who make that church up... Remember, the church is not a building, it's not an institution fundamentally. When the Bible talks about the church, it's talking about people. And because churches are made up of sinful people, they are never, ever going to be perfect. I have a confession to make. I've been a pastor in this church for over 13 years now. And you know what? There are things about City North that disappoint me. There are times I go home from church services or other functions or events in this church here and I feel disappointed. Sometimes I feel disappointed because of things that have happened. Sometimes, very often, I feel disappointed because of myself. And I feel that, at least in some way, I have let my people down. You see, I'm not a perfect pastor. And I don't pastor a perfect church, sadly. And when I feel like that, you know what? It makes me even more dependent upon Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. So the fact that we're not perfect is not the issue that we're talking about here when we're trying to define the kind of church that we are or that we want to be. The important thing is that we understand that we have a Lord of this church who wants to help us to do things better and to set ourselves up and organise ourselves in such a way that we will be able to maximise the amount of glory that we give to Jesus Christ. We all want to be part of a church which is alive, which is growing, where there's the reality of Jesus present, where the Holy Spirit is actively at work. That's the kind of church we want to be in, isn't it? And I hope that through these core values that God will be helping us to maybe understand ourselves and the character of this church better so that we can be this kind of a church. Last week, the four core values that we looked at were a passionate love for God. I wonder whether the way that we worship, the way that we relate together, the way that we serve God in this church here, I wonder whether these things reflect the way that we truly feel about God. Are we motivated and driven by a genuine love for God? When we sing, when we have fellowship together, when we go off to home group, is our desire to express our love for God and to experience more of the reality of God in our lives? Second one was transformation through the Bible. Are we really serious in this church about getting God's word, God's precious, holy word, into our minds and into our hearts so that we can really live this stuff? So that oozes out of us. I used to say of John Bunyan, the guy who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, a great Baptist pastor back in the 1600s in England, they said his blood was bibline. In other words, if you pricked him, the blood that came out of him was saturated with the Bible. I like that, but I wonder if it could be said of us. The third one was confidence in the gospel. Do we really believe in this church that the gospel is God's power to transform and to save people from their sin? Do we really believe that? And the fourth one was genuine relationships. Does our faith translate into the way that we love and care for one another in this church, the way that we worship and serve God together? There's a beautiful little verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which talks about the church at Corinth. Now, if you know anything about the church at Corinth, you'll know that it was probably the church that got bagged more than any other church in the whole of the Bible. Paul said some extremely harsh things to this church because they needed to hear them. They need to hear the truth. But he talks there about them being the kind of church where outsiders can come along to one of their services and be so affected by the way that those people loved and worked together. He said these words here. This is what these outsiders say. He will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, "God is really among you." This outsider who comes in looks at these people, not a Christian, knows nothing about God, but because of the quality, the way that they connected together in their worship, in their fellowship, in their submission to the Word of God, they just shook their heads and said, "God is really among you." You know, sometimes I think we're scared to bring people along to a church service because they say, what goes on in a church service is so foreign to the average Aussie these days, they will freak out if they come here because they won't be used to sitting here listening to what goes on and observing what goes on in a church service. But you know what? That was the very thing that affected these people at Corinth when they went to the church that met there. God is really among you. There is a God. That God is real because we can see it in the lives of your people. All right. Well, we're going to have a brief look at these six remaining core values that are on our list tonight. Once again, I just want to say that this document is available. There are some sheets of paper down the back there with the whole 10 of them written out there. And much of what I say tonight is going to actually flow on from the information that's contained on that sheet there. So if you've never read our 10 core values, grab one of those as you go after the service tonight. All right. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Why is that a core value at City North? Recently in our Sunday morning services, we've been going through the book of John's Gospel, and we've been looking at chapters 13 to 17, which are five chapters that all occurred the evening before Jesus died on the cross. Jesus gathered his disciples together. They shared the Last Supper together. And Jesus talked about lots and lots of things to them. But one of the key things that he talked about was the Holy Spirit. And basically what he said was, "I'm about to die. I'm going to go. I'm going to be leaving you. But don't worry, because the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he's going to come and be with you. But more than that, he's actually going to be in you." And he wanted to encourage and comfort these disciples and say, you don't have to live in fear. Yes, life is going to be tough. Some bad things are going to happen. But the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to make all the difference in the world to you. And you know what? Christians still today desperately need the Holy Spirit working within us. The Bible even tells us that you cannot even become a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You cannot say and really mean Jesus is Lord unless you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And God provides the Holy Spirit, yes, to help us grow in our Christian life, to help us become more like Jesus, to implant within our lives the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and those sorts of things. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us power to be able to live for Christ in these days. Yes, at a personal level, we need the Holy Spirit, but as a church, we need the Holy Spirit as well too. You read the book of Acts and you'll see the difference that the Holy Spirit made after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit got into those 11 disciples and they went out and preached there in Jerusalem and 3,000 people got saved. And little churches started to spring up all around Jerusalem. And as the Christians scattered, they planted little churches all over Judea. and beyond. The Holy Spirit was absolutely crucial in the establishing, the founding of those early churches. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial today if any church is going to be effective for Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives spiritual gifts to the Christians who are in these churches. Gifts of Bible teaching, gifts of evangelism, helping people to share the gospel, practical gifts like helping and doing administration and serving on rosters, gifts like hospitality. And hospitality doesn't just mean opening your home to friends, but also opening your home to needy people within the church community and maybe beyond. Being generous with your money is a spiritual gift. And church leadership roles. Look at Romans chapter 12. Just a couple of verses here, verses 4 to 8. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And we have there a picture of a local church. It is one body, and that body is made up of many different members. And as each of those different members contributes the gift that God has given them, so we have an effectively functioning church described here. You know, sometimes I don't think we realise that the Holy Spirit is actually at work. He's at work in our lives personally. He's at work in the church. Whether we're aware of it or not, the Holy Spirit is there. But I think in a special way, what we need to be doing is we need to be particularly asking God to give us His Spirit. So the Spirit does work dynamically through our church. When the Holy Spirit's at work, Christians will be alive. Their faith will be real. They'll want to share the gospel with other people. They'll want to show kindness and love to people who need it within the church there. And more than that, when the Holy Spirit's at work, He will be convicting people about sin in their lives and drawing them to Christ. The gospel will be fundamentally at work within the life of that church. As a church, we desperately need more of the Holy Spirit's work within us. Do you believe that? We really do. We need God's power to be giving life and vitality to this church. The second one on my list here is boldness in prayer. Look, I don't want to say too much about this because, well, it is so obvious. Prayer is so important. We need to be a praying people. Whether we're praying personally or whether we're getting together with one another and praying in small groups or maybe larger groups as a church, prayer is always important. We know that. The question, however, is do we pray? Do we pray? And you might say, oh, yes, I pray. Do we pray the way that we really should be praying? Are we as serious about prayer as what we ought to be? Last week, I think when we were talking about the gospel, I think Michael made the point there that very often we are theoretically committed to the power of the gospel, but we're not practically committed to it. We believe that the gospel is essential, We believe that God works when the gospel is faithfully shared with other people. But then there's a bit of a disconnect whether we actually do share the gospel with other people. And I think it's a bit like that with prayer. We know that prayer is important, but do we really pray? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That's a very challenging passage of scripture. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that we, if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And he doesn't just hear us, but he answers that prayer according to his will. How's your prayer life? You know, I hate people asking those sorts of questions. And the reason why is I hate people asking me about my prayer life. Because I know that I ought to take up God's invitation to pray more. I really should. Just as I long that I should be a more prayerful pastor, I also pray that my church would be more serious about prayer and that we spent more time on our knees before God. I think more than anything else, prayer reflects the way that we really feel about God. Do we believe that God really does care? Because if we do, we ought to pray. And we should pray really bold and serious prayers. Do we believe that God's interested in what goes on here at City North? That he cares about the youth group? Do we believe that God cares about people from our church who are in hospital or facing crises in their lives? How much time do we spend praying for them? You open the bulletin, you see all those prayer points there. I don't know how much time you've spent this week praying through that list that's there. We need to be prayerful people. Do we believe that when we pray that God is able to help us grow more like Christ? Do we believe that God is able to convict sinners and draw them to himself? Do we believe that God is able to raise up missionaries from this church and send them out? Do we believe that God is able to bring new people into this church? People with gifts who are going to be able to exercise those gifts and use these gifts to glorify God in the church here. There's a constant flow through of people in this church. People who have to move because either they're moving house or they're moving up country or they've got to move because of work or study or whatever the case may be. And they leave holes in the church. We need people to come and replace them. Do we believe that God is able to bring revival to this church? And I mean, really stir us up. Really get this church moving. You know, one of the scariest sections of the Bible is Revelation 2 and 3, which talks about seven churches in Asia. That's modern-day Turkey. And most of those churches were really struggling. Some of them were lukewarm. Some of them thought they were alive, but Jesus actually said they were dead. And you know, as a pastor, I think I don't ever want to hear that diagnosis given to this church here. That this church became lukewarm while I was one of the pastors here. This church had lost its first love for Jesus. Rather, I want it to be the other way around, that there are people in this church who, you know, because God was gracious and kind and because the Spirit was alive and at work in this church here, there were people who were on fire for Christ, people whose love for Jesus was so strong, people that God was able to use to do great things for him through the ministries of this church. I wonder how your prayer life actually reflects your commitment to City North Baptist Church. You know, we can never do in our own strength or by our own hard work or by our cleverness. We can never do what God can do. And if we think that making this church a great church is all up to us and how hard we work and how committed we are and how much effort and drive we put into it, well, then the sad thing is that we're going to miss the boat. And that's the reason why we should be praying, because it is what God does which is going to make the real difference to this church. And we need to pray hard and we need to pray often. We need to pray on our own privately, but we also need to be praying together in groups, in pairs, in triplets, whatever it might be. We need to pray for City North and what God is doing in this church here. Acquaint yourself with what's going on in the church and pray for it, please, because we need God to do his work among us. Pray boldly. That's what the Bible says. There's a blue brochure somewhere around the church. Looks like that. Faith Basics, a church that prays. And there's copies of it, I think there's a few copies in it, 7 or 8 copies of it down the back there. Some of you will have received this last year. You might have it tucked away, pull it out. If you've never seen this before or never had a copy of it, grab one as you go, because I think it's got more information there that will be helpful to encourage you in your prayer life. Number 3, maximise participation. We're getting faster now. It's not uncommon for people to come to me and say things like this. I feel that God is telling me to get more involved in City North. That is music to a pastor's ears. To have people come along and say, I want to get more involved. Answering that question is not always that easy. And I'll explain why. Because church leaders have to be wise in how they fill roles and how they allocate responsibilities in the church. Does that person have gifts that are going to suit them for the particular roles that maybe they would like to fill in the church? I was at an elderly, I've got to choose my words carefully here, a function for elderly people a couple of weeks ago, and they had a visiting singing group came, which was very nice. I was talking to one of the ladies who was part of that singing group. I was sitting next to her, and she very proudly told me that you didn't have to audition to come to that group, that anybody could come along and join their singing group. I thought that was very nice too. Very brave, but very nice of them. And then I heard them sing. And a couple of the ladies had beautiful voices and sang very nicely, but there was a gentleman there who got up to sing with them, and he couldn't hold a note, not to save himself. He was completely off key. He was singing very heartily and putting everything into it. And I just sort of smiled to myself. I thought to myself, would I be able to get away with that if I kind of just said, anybody who wants to can come and join our music team? And they'd be up there on the microphone Sunday, on a regular basis there, not able to hold a tune. It would wreck our services. Anyway, pastors, have to be a little bit discerning, and we have to be wise in the way that we guide people who want to get involved. I'm not wanting to knock their enthusiasm. All I'm saying, is that there are certain roles that are suitable and some that are not, and we just have to be careful there. Are those people who want to get involved, are they faithful? Are they committed to the church? Are they reliable? Are they humble? Are they teachable? Are they able to work in a team? Are they able to submit to authority? These are the sorts of things, you know, that are important. So if you're keen to get more involved, by all means, come and have a talk. But we just need to be clear, you know, that there is a certain wisdom and discernment that is necessary on the part of the leaders in working out just exactly where to plug people in. The bottom line, however, is that the more people who are willing to get involved and to serve and to use the gifts that God has given to them, well then, the more blessing is going to come into the church, because it is God's will to have more and more people involved. Maximized participation is a very important value, I think, to have in the church. God doesn't want people to be sitting on the sidelines being spectators. He wants them to get involved and be participators. And you know what? It's interesting, but research shows that the smaller the church, the higher the percentage of people actually with their sleeves rolled up and involved there are likely to be. Sometimes, you know, we put big churches, successful churches, churches with whiz-bang ministries up there on a bit of a pedestal. But in actual fact, there's a relatively few number of people who are doing most of the work, and the vast majority of the people are just sitting on spectating. And that's sad, because the Bible's teaching about the body of Christ is that everybody who is a Christian ought to be contributing in some way to the life of that church by getting involved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read these. Verses start off at 12 and 13. We'll skip through a few verses here. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We skip down to verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We skip down now to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Referring to Christians, you are the body of Christ. I'm looking out over this group here tonight. I don't know how many people there are, probably 70 or 80 people. Many of you are Christians. Most of you are Christians. Many of you would regard City North as your church home. You are the body of Christ. And God has arranged all the parts exactly as he wanted them to be. And together we are to make up the body of Christ. We'll be the hands, the fingers, the feet, the toes, the ears, the eyes, the nose. Jesus, the head. We are the body of Christ. And we together are responsible for getting the job done that this local church needs to be doing in growing this church here in Kedron, Brisbane. How keen are you to get involved in this church? What gifts or interests do you have? Are you interested in music, children, youth, teaching, administration, hospitality? Do you have a heart that beats for mentally ill people? You see, these are just some of the ministry functions that we need to fill in the church here. And we need as many people as possible to be putting their hands up and saying, yes, I've got something to offer. Maybe you're not sure what your spiritual gift is. That's okay. There are a lot of people who are completely untried and unproven when it comes to exercising spiritual gifts. Why don't you come and have a chat with one of the pastors or somebody else whose opinions you respect? Why don't you start exploring some of the options? But don't sit on the sidelines. One thing we're hoping to do over the next little while is to actually create a list of opportunities for people. Maybe jobs in the church that haven't that aren't currently being fulfilled, sorry, aren't currently being filled, or else areas where we'd like to get more people involved. And we'll probably put it up on the notice board out the back in the foyer there. But anyway, the pastors will have a copy of this list, and there might be a time when you'd like to sort of come along and have a look at that list and scan down it and sort of say, ah, there's one there that God has put a bit of an interest in my heart for. If you need training, we might be able to give you some training. But don't feel as though you've got to be a fully fledged expert in that area before you can get plugged into it. It may well be a team situation where you can just gradually ease your way in, learn from the others who are involved in that area. But be a participator, won't you? I think that willingness is often even more important than giftedness. I find there are a lot of gifted people, you know, who will turn their noses up at sort of some of the more menial tasks and responsibilities in the church. What God is looking for is for humble people, people who are willing to do the dirty jobs, people who are willing to roll their sleeves up and have a go, even if they're not overly gifted in certain areas. Number four, servant leadership. Every church needs leaders. It needs godly men and women who can take on roles and responsibilities and to faithfully carry them out. The world, when I say the world, I mean, you know, the secular world that we live in day by day, it has a different set of qualities that they're looking for among their leaders. They're looking for people who are self-confident, people who are highly trained, people who have got natural leadership capacities and an authority about them that can enable them to sort of rule the roost. And what the Bible looks for, first and foremost in leaders, is humility. People who are willing to lead others from a position of humility. And we call this servant leadership. Servant leadership is deeply ingrained in the Bible. The classic example, of course, of the servant leader is Jesus himself. John chapter 13, you have the story of Jesus on the night before he went to the cross. Just think about that, the night. Less than 24 hours before he died on the cross, he picked up the basin and the towel and went round and washed the feet of his disciples. And at the end of that very humbling exercise, he said to his disciples, he said, "You've seen what I've done, now you go and do it." That's the way it is meant to be. You guys are going to be the leaders of the church, but you've got to be servants. You've got to be humble. You've got to be prepared to place yourself underneath the people that you are leading. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus put it this way, verses 25 to 28. He said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." That's the secular people, the Romans, the leaders of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. "Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." There are times when you're a leader, and if I could just put my leader's hat on just for a second here, when you get tested. Find out whether you're still a servant leader or not. When people let you down. When people cause you trouble. When you get frustrated. when there's division and strife happening in that ministry that you're trying to lead. And in those times there, you have to handle people the way that Jesus wants you to handle them. Jesus put up with the disciples for 3 long years. Imagine that. Yet he continued to love them and to put up with them and to serve them. And that's the way it's meant to be in ministry, in leadership within the church. And that's the way that we want it to be here at City North. That those who lead ministries in this church here are servant leaders. And it takes grace and it takes patience. And it takes the ability to stick with people and to keep encouraging those people, even though they let you down or they frustrate you. Will you please, please, please pray for the leaders of City North? Because we need to work hard to keep preserving this value in the church. Number 5, cultural engagement. This is just a fancy way of saying that we want to be a church that actually connects with the world around us. That doesn't mean that by connecting with the world around us that we let the world set the agenda for the church, or that we let the world define the kind of church that we are. In fact, it's the opposite, really. It means that as a church that is first of all committed to Jesus Christ and committed to the gospel, that we seek to live our lives in such a way and set up our ministries in this church in such a way that we're able to make a positive impact upon the community around about us. We're to engage with that community in a loving way, in a Christ-like way, in a gospel-driven way. How are we doing that? How are we engaging culturally here at City North? Well, for a start, we sing contemporary music. We have a band. We have a modern building with air conditioning. I mean, that in itself makes a little bit of a statement to the people who come here. It's not everything, I know, but it's a start. We want to connect with the kind of people who live in a world today where they expect to at least be able to feel a little bit as though they belong. We put on a carols program each year, well, most years, down there in Bradbury Park, and we try to invite our neighbours to come along. We do our best to try and set up ministries in the church here that people come to. I don't know whether you know how many women from the community come to Mainly Music every week. Stacks and stacks of them. Mums with their little kids who come here. Church puts on a program that is specifically tailored to modern young mums and the needs that they have with their little families. And I mean, I could talk about other ministries that we do as well too. We go into school. We go onto their turf week by week through the RE program because we care about sharing the gospel with the teenagers, the adolescents of this part of Brisbane, who will otherwise never get an opportunity probably to hear about Jesus unless we do something to help them there. And so what we're doing is we're encouraging people to live their faith in an active way in the real world, to engage with that world, to share the gospel with their non-Christian friends. Christianity is by far the most flexible religion that there is. You just think about that for the moment. The gospel of Jesus Christ is able to penetrate far more effectively into different countries and different social groups and different cultures and different races than any other religion in the world. Christianity is not a Jewish religion. It's not a Western religion. Christianity is not allied with any particular group in that sense. It cuts through the social barriers. The only basis for unity among Christians is our common relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you were here this morning, you would have heard Pastor Dave preach about that. Our unity comes from Christ. And when Christ is in our lives, well then, it will be relevant to whoever group that you might be wanting to relate to in the world. I know Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16 is very well known, but I've got to read it again because it is so important here. You, this is talking to the people who belong to Jesus Christ, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You, people who belong to Jesus, are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We have a responsibility to be salty in our community. We have a responsibility to shine our light. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've got another one there somewhere as well. We still got the next one, please? We haven't. Yep, that's it. Yeah. Paul said, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, yes, he was a Jewish rabbi ethnically, culturally, but once he was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was able to confidently say, because of the freedom I have in Christ, I can become all things to all men, in order that I might help to win them to Christ. And I think that's the principle we need to have here in this church. We don't want to be a church which sets up big high walls around us and we bunker down and try to avoid the world from contaminating us. Hopefully our faith will be strong and vibrant, and with the help of the Holy Spirit that we will be protected from the contamination of the world. But far more important is that we go out and live out our faith in the real world, and that we, in the most positive way, contaminate the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the love of Jesus. We need to show the world what difference it really does make to know Christ and to win people for him. And then finally, down-to-earth style. I can't give you a Bible verse to back up this one. What I can say, however, is that I think the style, if we can put it that way, in our church flows out of probably three or four of the core values that we've already mentioned here. Let me just read what we've got written in this core values document. We aim to be the following type of church: informal and unpretentious, sincere and friendly, genuinely caring and relational, inclusive of all ages and backgrounds. Both personally and as a church, we encourage reality rather than hype and authenticity rather than image. Is that a fair statement of the kind of church that we are? I hope it is. I mean, if our relationships are genuine, if we are wanting to communicate the gospel in a relaxed Aussie kind of way in the 21st century, if we want to do everything we can to avoid divisions and barriers, social barriers and those sorts of things, I think it's probably good for us to be a down-to-earth church. We want to be a church community where everybody feels like they can be included. That's not quite as obvious at night, where we're a little bit more homogeneous. When I say you're a little bit more homogeneous, yeah, you're young people by and large, and so you kind of tend to hang together in the night service. But if you came in the morning, you would see in the congregation here, you would see one of Brisbane's most up-and-coming barristers, sitting next to a guy who's a plumber. You'll see 90-year-old ladies sitting on the table over here having their morning tea with 18-month-old toddlers running around them during the morning tea time. You will see people with all sorts of hang-ups and issues and dramas in their lives, all happily hanging together. We have school teachers, we have engineers, we have doctors, we have housewives and mums with little children. We even have a few IT geeks in the church here, more than a few. And they all hang together in a very natural, down-to-earth way, because we believe that the gospel expresses itself most effectively in this way. That's the style of church, if you like, that we would like to be. Let me ask two questions just as we finish. Is that set of core values that we've been talking about tonight and last week an accurate picture of what life is like at City North? I'm not asking you to shout out loudly, but I'm just rhetorically raising the question. Is that, you think, an accurate picture of the kind of church that if we're not all the way there yet, that we're kind of heading towards? I hope it is. But if it's not, what have we got to change? What have we got to do differently to address it? I've already said that we're not the perfect church. I'm quite prepared to admit that. And because church is made up of people like us, it's always going to be a little bit on the messy side. Always going to be sort of a few little issues that we wish we could do better. And it will only be, of course, when Jesus comes back and when he sets up the new heavens and the new earth that things will be perfected. So we might have a little bit of waiting to do yet. But there's one thing I just want to say just as we finish. And I want you to think about this. If City North is not all it ought to be, or all that you want it to be, who is responsible for fixing it? You. You are the body of Christ. When I say you, I mean not just you, but you see, it is us. It is us. You know, I know you could point the finger and say, oh, if the elders were better, or if the pastors were better, you know, this church would be different. But that's not true. They might be part of the issue. All right. But you see, we all have a part to play here. And it may very well be, if there's some particular area of weakness within the church that you're aware of, maybe you need to come along and have a talk and say, look, God has really been speaking to me at this, and I would like to do something to address this issue. And that might be a fantastic place to start. And at the very least, what you need to be doing, rather than complaining and maybe gossiping about it, you need to be praying about it, at the very least, and pray and ask God to help whoever is responsible for those areas to be able to come up with some solutions. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you're not already a member, you need to think about becoming a member, because when you're a member, you can come along to our members' meetings and you can stand up in front of the guys who are there at those meetings there, and you can sort of say, I think God is saying this. What do you guys reckon? That might be a good place to start. Well, I think a lot about this church. It's my job to do that. I'm the senior pastor here. I just want to say that, yes, even though there are times when I feel disappointed with myself or some aspect of my church here, I love this church. And I really, really, really do. I love City North. I love you guys. I love... And you know what? There are times I pinch myself and think how fortunate I am to have a church like City North to pastor. And I hope there are at least moments when you pinch yourself and say, I'm so glad that I can be a part of City North. Not the perfect church. Not as good in certain areas maybe as other churches are. But overall, I'm glad to be a part of this church family. God is at work there. And I want to roll my sleeves up and get involved and contribute whatever little way God gives me the opportunity to helping that church fulfill its calling in this part of Brisbane. I'm excited about what God may do in this church over the next couple of years, and I hope that we all are. If you're going to hang around here and be part of it, I hope that we're all amazed at God's goodness and graciousness to us in this church here over these next couple of years. This church has got an 89-year history now. 89 years God has had a faithful witness through this church. And it'd just be exciting to see what God does over the next few years. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for City North, and thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of it. And Lord, we do want to pray that you will continue to work powerfully among us, or reveal Jesus more and more clearly to us, we pray. Draw people to faith in Christ. Convict people of their sin and transform their lives by the power of the gospel. Grow us and build us in love and make us united in Christ, Lord. Keep us, Lord, from factions and divisions. Equip us, Lord. Send us out into this world around about us that we might be faithful in living the gospel and sharing the gospel with those around us. And show us, Lord, maybe how you want us to be more involved ourselves in what you're doing at City North. Father, we pray that you'll bless the leaders of this church. Give them wisdom. And we just pray, Father, that through all that is happening in this church, that your name will be magnified and glorified in greater measure through the life and the witness of City North. Be with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.